And as I read my text tonight, I'm doing this to establish a fact. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Here is the question. Where is the feeding ground? Tell me where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Now turn in tonight to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. A very short passage. The words of Jesus. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you. I'm choosing tonight to preach from this thought, this scripture, this subject, and this text. The footsteps of the flock. The footsteps of the flock. I have read these three scriptures to establish a fact. First of all, the church is the flock. Now let us understand that in the outset of the message. The flock is the church, and the church is the flock. The church may not be the greatest in number, though it be small, God loves it. Can you say praise the Lord? The church or the flock has left its footprints. And I'm going to preach tonight exactly how to find the feeding ground that God has ordained whereby he can feed the church. Now the church must be fed because the church is the flock and the flock is the church, and the Bible, through the writing of Paul and through the preaching of Paul, he admonished the elders of the church at Ephesus to feed the church of God that he has purchased with his own blood. Now the church or the flock has left its footprints in the sand of time. Now here are two important things that I want to preach about tonight. When you follow the footsteps of the flock, when you follow the footsteps of the early church, you're going to find that the early church went somewhere and they are going somewhere. First of all, the early church had a destination. This church in this generation has a destination. The church, contrary to what some believe, has not lost its sense of direction. The church is going to the same place that the early church started out to go to some 2,000 years ago. So the church has not lost its sense of direction. The church is on the right course tonight. The church is not floundering like a crippled ship in the dashing waves of the ocean, but the church tonight has been established. The church has been erected. The church has been built upon a solid and a firm foundation, and that foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about the future of the church tonight. I said I'm not worried about the future of the church tonight, for the church has not lost its sense of direction. The church is still marching on. The church is still preaching. The church is still praying. The ministry is still uplifting the name of Jesus Christ. The saints are still living holy. The saints are still believing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This church is still moving. Now, where is this church going? I'm going to tell you that this church, if you will follow the footsteps of the flock, this church will lead you to the land of undying day. I'm preaching the church has a destination. What is that destination? John chapter 14, the first 6 verses. Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe it also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let me tell you, that's the destination of the church. I said, that's the destination of the church. This church is designed to go to heaven, to walk the streets of gold, and to praise and to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We're not floundering tonight. We know where we're going. The devil has tried to erase the footprints of the early church with everything they could bring against it. They tried persecution. That didn't work. Then they began to worm their way on the inside of the church. And the devil has inspired false prophets and false preachers to stand up behind the pulpit and to misguide and to mislead honest-hearted men and women. But thank God tonight for the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ that's being preached in this world tonight. And that gospel is able to save. It's able to reach down in the sin and to bring you out and to make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's the destination of the church. If I go, Jesus said, I will return. I will gather you unto myself. Have you ever stopped to analyze that scripture? I will gather you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Some will say, I want to go to heaven because the streets are made out of gold. I want to go if it's made out of mud, because Jesus Christ is there. And if the only glimpse that I could ever get of Jesus, I'd have to look through the keyhole of a door once every million years just to get a glimpse of him, I'd still want to go. But that's not the way it's going to be. When you get to heaven forever, you will revel in the presence of God forever and forever. You will worship Him. You will adore Him. You will praise Him. You will magnify Him. John said, I heard 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands all say it with a loud voice. Brother, let me tell you, you better get used to noise down here. When you get over there, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands all saying with a loud voice, I'm getting in practice down here. Hallelujah. I want to get over the streets of glory. I want to stand right on the corner of Hallelujah Boulevard. I want to lift my voice and shout the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the church, the footsteps of the flock, will lead to a final destination. And that destination is heaven. That destination is the presence of God, where we shall worship and adore Him forever. That's one part of my sermon. The footsteps of the flock will lead to heaven. Now I'm coming down to another part. The footsteps of the flock will lead you to the feeding ground of the soul. We need to be fed. The soul must be fed. Two expressions are often used about lean and fat. When somebody's not too spiritual, they say, their soul is lean. But you let them be high spiritually, and the scripture comes to mind, a good report will make the bones fat. Hallelujah. You know, I believe some Christians has joined the Weight Watchers spiritually. They want to decline instead of growing in the Lord and becoming fat and revel in His presence. Somehow they want to get lean in their soul. It's no time to get lean spiritually, but it's time to get fed spiritually. And the Bible says to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not trying to reduce spiritually, but we are trying to gain all of the spirituality that we can. We need all the strength we can get. I said we need all the strength that we can get. Now let us get in the footsteps of the flock. Are you still with me? I said, are you still with me? Let's go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And I'm going to lead you by the Word of God right straight to the feeding ground. I can look around a lot of us tonight. You have already found the feeding ground. Not spiritually altogether, but you found the table in your house. You found the knife. You found the fork. You found the plate. And you have a good cook. But listen, I'm going to take you to the spiritual feeding ground tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to get right in the footsteps of the flock. We're going to walk tonight. I know the devil has tried to cover up the footprints of the early church. In the desert, especially, when you met a footprint in the desert, then the wind will arise and those footprints will be covered with sand. And that's what the devil's tried to do tonight. That's why the Bible calls false doctrine the winds of doctrine. Be not carried about by divers winds of doctrine. Let me tell you, we need to rediscover tonight. We need to rediscover the footprints of the flock. What did the early church teach? What did the early church believe? Let me tell you, they had revivals. Wherever they went, they had revivals. They went preaching. They went preaching the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the Word of God. And let me tell you, they had revivals. The devil got stirred. The devil got mad. But the matter, he got the more they preached, and more people got saved. You can't pet the devil. He'll run you in a corner when you start petting him. Let's go now and see Luke 24 and 44.
And he said unto them,
These
are the words which I spake unto you.
These are the words which I spake unto you.
While I was yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled.
Read on.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
Now this was all written in the law of Moses.
And in the prophets. And in the Psalms concerning me.
Read on. Opened
he their understanding.
Then opened he their understanding.
That they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them.
Thus it is written.
And thus it behooved Christ to suffer.
And arise from the dead the third day.
And that repentance. And remission of sins. Should be preached in His name.
Whose name? What's His name?
Jesus.
That repentance and remission of sins
should be preached in His name. Among part of the nations. All nations.
Yes, to the Jews.
Among all nations.
Yes, to the Gentiles.
Among all nations.
No, to all nations.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Beginning where?
At Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
That's where it all started.
Hallelujah.
I said that's where it all started.
Hallelujah.
That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations in my name.
Hallelujah.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Right.
That's where it begun. That's where it started. That was the birthday of the New Testament church. Now read. Read it.
Read on.
Yes,
and
read on.
Ye are witnesses.
And you are witnesses.
Of these things. And behold. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem.
No, go to Rome.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem.
Until ye be endued with power.
Until you be endued with
from
power.
From on high.
From on high. Come on.
Hallelujah. Come and on. He led them out.
And he led them out.
As far as to Bethany.
As far as to Bethany.
And he lifted up his hands.
And he lifted up his
hands. And blessed them.
And blessed them.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
While he blessed them.
While he blessed them.
He was parted from them.
He was parted from them.
And carried up into heaven.
And carried up into heaven.
And they worshipped him.
And they worshipped him.
And returned to Jerusalem.
They returned to Jerusalem.
With great joy.
With great joy.
And were continually in the temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now let's leave his ascension and get in the footprints of the disciples and go to Jerusalem. Now you may say, I'm not going to Jerusalem. Then you're not honest. You're not willing to get in the footprints of the disciples and follow him from his ascension to Jerusalem. I'm going to take you to Jerusalem tonight.
Hallelujah.
And it won't cost you a thing. It's going to be a free tour. We're going to Jerusalem now. You see, I'm going to preach to you tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I haven't felt this going to preach since this morning, about 11 o'clock. Hallelujah. When I get to preaching, I get excited. I'll be frank with you. I get excited when I get to preaching.
Hallelujah.
Because you know why? I'm a salesman. And I have some merchandise that I want to sell you tonight. If you're going to try to sell anything, let me give you some good advice. A little boy came to the door the other day and he walked up. He was very timid. Knocked on the door and I answered the door. He said, you wouldn't want to buy some books, would you? I said, no, I wouldn't. Now, if he would have approached me differently, I might have bought a book. Don't walk up to somebody and say, you wouldn't want to come to church, would you? They'll say, no, don't believe what you're doing. See, that's no good salesman. I want to walk up to you tonight and say, you need to come. You need to get saved tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, brother, let me tell you, I'm talking about something tonight. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 12 and 15. Now, we're going to see what the Bible has to say here. What does the Bible say? That's what I want to know. What does the Bible say? Acts chapter 1, verse 12.
Then they returned unto Jerusalem.
Then they returned unto Jerusalem.
From the mount called Olivet.
From the mountain called Olivet.
Which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey.
Which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day's journey.
And when they were come in.
And when they were come in.
They went up into an upper room.
They went up into an upper room.
Where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James.
Yeah.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication.
Yeah.
With the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus.
No, wait now. There was but 12 there.
With the women. And Mary, the mother
and
of Jesus.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus.
And with his brethren.
And with his brethren.
And with his brethren.
Read on.
And in those days, Peter stood up.
Now, notice that some will teach you that nobody but 12 on the day of Pentecost received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here, the Bible said the names together were about 120. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that 120.
Yes, she was.
Now we followed him from his ascension from the Mount of Olives. We have gone to the upper room in Jerusalem. Get in the same footprints tonight with me and let's follow him from the Mount of Olives and walk right on up to the upper room in the city of Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see what happened in the upper room. Now, where is the feeding ground? I'm going to take you to the upper room on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. Now, you see, I'm not preaching this out of Grandma's birthday almanac. And I didn't bring Sears Roebuck catalog with me tonight. I brought this book that I hold
Hallelujah.
In my hand. Here it is,
Hallelujah.
Right here. Really, what is the Bible? It's a leatherback menu. If you want to know where to feed your soul, take this leatherback menu. There it is. It's outlined. Praise God. Everything the soul needs is found in this book that I'm preaching from tonight.
Hallelujah.
You see, the soul must be fed spiritual things. You'll starve your soul to death on the beggarly elements of this world. You can't feed your soul on foolishness. You can't feed your soul on the things that goes on outside in the world. You've got to feed your soul, your new man, the spiritual man, to maintain spirituality is a secret. It all depends on what you eat. When people first get saved, everywhere they go, they take a Bible. It's not a handy to take a Bible, they take a little testament, they put it right here. When they first get saved, at every spare moment, they got it open, read it.
Right.
But after a while, they forget the Bible. They leave that at home. They used to fast and pray, but now they forgot to fast and pray. Let me tell you, you'll never outgrow your need for fasting and praying. You'll never do that as long as you live on top side of this earth tonight. You've got to pray. You've got to fast.
Yes.
You've got to feed the spiritual man. Spiritual things from the Word of God. And here is the feeding ground. And here is the menu tonight.
Praise
whatever God has put on that menu, it tastes so good to me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have a spiritual appetite
Hallelujah.
Tonight. There's something about this book that gives me a spiritual appetite. And the more
Hallelujah.
I eat, the stronger I get. The stronger I get, the more I eat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like I heard the Frenchman. He said he fed his children garlic so he could find them in the dark. You're really what you eat. I said you're really what you eat. When you eat spiritual things, you'll be a spiritual individual.
Yes, that's right.
And you won't be finding fault with everybody in the country. Oh, Lord. Listen, I got a hold of it now. If you don't open your mouth for the next 30 minutes, see, I can still preach now because I got a hold of it. Thank God. But listen, if you've got anything in you pertaining to spirituality, I'll have you off those pews back there in a few minutes.
Hallelujah!
Praise God, praise God. Come on now, let's read Acts chapter 2, the first four verses.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
they were in the upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
they were all with one accord.
They were all with one accord.
In one place.
In one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
From where?
From heaven.
No. Hypnotism.
No, from heaven.
They get excited.
From heaven.
Well, now this came from heaven.
Yes, as of a rushing.
And anything that comes from heaven is good enough for me.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it tonight?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You can't improve on what God sends down from heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There were on the day of Pentecost in the upper room 120. You know, I've often wondered what happened. The Bible said after his resurrection, he was seen of 500. 500 at one time. Well, here was only 120. There were 380 short. I don't know what happened to the 380. Something happened to him somewhere. But here was 120. We have traced the footsteps from his ascension on the Mount of Olives all the way back to Jerusalem, which was about a Sabbath day's journey. Now we have them in the upper room. They've been there about 7 days, earnestly seeking and tarrying, waiting for the promise of the Father. Let me tell you, Jesus said, don't depart from Jerusalem. John truly baptized with water,
Hallelujah.
But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Not many days hence.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now let's read the first verse again.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
They were all with one accord in one place.
And
suddenly,
there came a sound from heaven.
There came a sound from
heaven. As of a rushing mighty wind.
As of a rushing mighty wind.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Hallelujah.
Read on.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues.
There appeared unto them cloven
like
tongues.
Like as a fire.
Like as a fire.
And it sat upon each
And it sat upon
of them.
Each of them.
And they were all filled.
And they were all filled.
And they were all filled
all
with
filled.
The Holy Ghost.
All
Hallelujah.
Filled.
Hallelujah.
They were all filled.
All filled. Everyone.
All filled.
All filled.
All filled.
All filled.
All filled.
All filled. Thank God. 120. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
See, this glass is not full. There's no chance of that running over. And that's why a lot of people never let it run over, is because they're not full. Man, am I ever preaching tonight? See, I'm trying to tell you how to have a revival. Go back to Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Get full.
Hallelujah.
I said get full. And you know, if you'd fill this glass full, there wouldn't be room for anything else. And when you get yourself filled with God, there'll be no room for nothing else.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the people that's always having trouble with the world is people that's not full. You didn't like that, did you? Say it again. The reason folks are dabbling around and fooling around with the world tonight is because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you have no room for nothing else. I have no room for nothing else. Praise God, all I want is just to have it run over. And one more little touch and it's going to run over right now. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of God.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened?
And began to speak with other tongues.
They didn't begin to speak until they were all filled.
Right.
Begin to speak with other tongues.
As the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now notice, that's when you talk in tongues.
Right.
It's when the Spirit comes in.
Yes, that's right.
You don't have to be taught to talk in tongues.
Right.
That's foolishness. You don't have to tickle anybody under the chin or beat anybody in the back. That's not going to help a thing in this world. When the Holy Ghost comes in, you'll begin to talk.
Praise the Lord. As the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, let's come right on over to the second chapter. Still in the second chapter, the 36th verse. Now, let's see what happens. Now, we have got them in the upper room. Now, this is a footprint of the early church. Now, here they are in Jerusalem, all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's see what kind of preaching went on here.
Actually, therefore.
Now, Peter was preaching now.
Right.
Therefore.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus.
Now, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that
same Jesus.
Now, you mean the same Jesus.
That same Jesus.
Not a different one.
No, that same one.
The same one that the Jews rejected.
Whom ye have crucified.
That same Jesus that was crucified.
Right.
What happened?
He's made him. Both Lord.
Both Lord.
Hallelujah. And Christ.
Both Lord and
both
Christ.
Both Lord and Christ. Thank God.
Both Lord and Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now read on.
Hallelujah. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart.
Now that was some kind of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
He's both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this,
they were pricked in their heart.
They were convicted in their heart.
And said unto Peter. And to the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren.
They did not just address this question to Peter alone. They addressed it to Peter and to the rest of the apostles.
Right.
What did they want to know?
Men and brethren. What shall we do?
Now, what was the answer?
Then Peter.
Said unto them.
Repent.
No, do penance.
Repent.
Count your beads.
Repent.
Make the cross.
Repent.
No.
Repent.
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 Let me tell you. This country tonight needs a good old-time case of Bible repentance.
I believe that. Hallelujah.
Repentance will change your lifestyle. Heard about two fellows that drove into a drive-in restaurant down in South Africa. And the menu was tacked on a coconut tree. And the menu said, that's where they ate people, you know, cannibals. Two fellows are talking one time, and one of them said, I don't like my mother-in-law. Well, he said, just eat the vegetables. So this was what was tacked up on the coconut tree. This was a menu. Natives, $2 a pound. Missionaries, $4 a pound. Hippies, $16 a pound. They got to talking. One said, why the difference in the price? Said, natives, $2 a pound. Missionaries, $4 a pound. And hippies, $16 a pound. Why are they so much higher? The other said, did you ever try to clean one? God has a solution for everybody tonight.
Hallelujah.
It'll clean up your lifestyle. You hear me? I'm preaching repentance tonight.
Yes,
Jesus Christ said, it's either repent or perish. Either repent or die. This is what will bring a revival in this church. Repentance. Get down before God and cry and weep for the sins of other people and repent of your sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That'll bring it every time when you begin to repent. That don't mean come here and shed a few crocodile tears and then go outside and pick up the same habits that you had when you came in. When you repent, you get rid of sin. You get rid of your filthy habits. And you walk out a man or a woman that has made a visit to Calvary. Hallelujah. You made a visit to Calvary. Hallelujah. Repentance. I've seen the worst men come to God. And I've seen the good man, the good moral man come to God. They've got to come the same way. Sometimes it's hard for the good moral man to realize his need of God. It's like Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a good man. But he had to send down to Joppa for a certain man whose name was Simon Peter to come down and tell him how he and his household could be saved. Let me tell you tonight, we need repentance. I said we need repentance. It's either repent or die. Repentance. It's a change. I heard about an old Jew that moved into a Catholic neighborhood. You know, there's a church that teaches that you cannot eat meat on Friday. You're to eat fish on Friday. And I've often wondered about that scripture. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples were discouraged and some of them went fishing. So the Lord, after he'd been resurrected, stood on the shore early that morning and looked out and he saw them. He knew they'd been toiling. He said, "Children, do you have any meat?" I've often wondered about that. And I've been wondering if they were fishing for pork chops. They were fishing for fish. So the old Jew came in and he was pretty wealthy. And the father saw that and he said, "Well," he said, "maybe I can convert him." So the father went to the Jew and, "No," the Jew said, "I couldn't learn all that." He said, "I couldn't do that." The father said, "It's easy. All you have to do is repeat three times, 'I was a Jew, I'm a Catholic, I was a Jew, I'm a Catholic, I was a Jew, and I'm a Catholic.'" "Oh," he said, "that's easy." He said, "You mean I'm already in?" "Oh, yeah," he said, "that's all you have to do. You in?" A few days, father decided he better go see about his convert. Went over on Friday and that old Jew was eating chicken. Man, he was going after that chicken. Father said, "You can't do that." "Oh," he said, "I fixed it." He said, "I once was a chicken, but now I'm a fish. I once was a chicken, but now I'm a fish. I once was a chicken, but now I'm a fish." "Oh, brother, don't work like that." I said, "It don't work like that. It comes with a change." Hallelujah. You have a change. You have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of thinking, and a change of lifestyle. Hallelujah. That's how it comes. Oh, brother, I'm preaching repentance tonight. If you want to have a revival, everybody, when I get through preaching, if you got time, come up tonight and let's have a service of repentance. The early church preached repentance. Now, come on. Then Peter said unto them, do what?
Repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
Sprinkle.
And be baptized.
Pour.
And be baptized.
Well, have it your way.
All right. Every one of you.
All of you that feels like it.
Every one of you.
No, let's pray over.
Every one of you.
No, it's not essential.
Every one of you.
Really?
Really.
Really? All right. Let's read it again. Then Peter said unto them,
repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
And be baptized.
Every one of you. In the name.
How?
Of Jesus Christ.
You remember he told them in Luke 24, "Now you go to Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem." Well, Peter preached the first sermon. He was inspired.
Hallelujah.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, he was.
He shelled down the corn, and here it is. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, how?
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name
Christ,
of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of sins.
For the remission of sins.
And ye shall.
And you shall.
And ye shall.
And you shall.
And ye shall. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise the name of the Lord. Now, read, for the promise
is unto you,
is unto the 12.
Is unto you.
Unto who?
Unto you.
Unto you.
And to your children.
Your children wait. Now the promise, what is the promise? The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost.
Right, right.
The promise is unto you, you Jews,
and
to your
children,
come on,
and to all, that are far off.
That's the Gentiles. Yeah. To all that are far off.
Even as many.
Even as many.
As the Lord.
As the Lord.
Our God.
Our God.
Shall call.
Shall call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's the feeding ground.
Praise the Lord.
Did you ever go in a place to eat? And they have such a beautiful menu. And you'd say, now that suits my taste bud. Wonderful. The first thing when they come in to wait on you, they bring a glass of water. And they plop it right down before you. And sometimes it's full and they slosh it over a little. But I was up east, in the northeast, not too long ago, preaching. And you don't get water up there unless you ask for it. They have a shortage of water. So you don't get water unless you ask for it. They come in, set down the water. Here's the menu. So you pick up the menu and you order. I believe I'll take this. No, we out of that today. We out. We don't have that. Well, here's my second choice. No, I'm sorry. We out of that also. Well, here's my third choice. No, we out of that. That's where the church world is run tonight. Here's the menu. Here's the menu right here. This is the menu. You'll go to some of these highfalutin churches. And you'll find your place to get seated. And everybody's so stiff-necked, it looked like they swallowed a broomstick, you know. So nervous. And you go up to the pastor and say, now listen, pastor. I want to order. You preach today from the menu. And I want to order a great big dish of repentance. Oh, we are out today. Do the very best you can. That's all you have to do. You don't have to weep and cry and unburden your soul. So we are out of repentance today. Well, pastor, I heard you preach about God. Now, I read in the Bible where they can receive the Holy Ghost. Is that on your menu? Oh, no. When the dish was passed at Pentecost, Peter and the 120, they sought the dish clean. And there's no more Holy Ghost left for anybody. Oh, we are out. We are out. Oh, brother, I'm glad I can preach you from the menu tonight and tell you that we're still serving. We're still serving what God told us to serve. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That's the way it is. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. Glory. Well, pastor, I read in that book, in this menu where the apostles in the early church served a great big dish of baptism in water in Jesus' name. Oh, no. We're out of that today. We haven't had none of that in a long time. We've kept serving that because we let everybody choose. If they want to be poured, we pour them. If they want to be baptized, we baptize them. If they want to be sprinkled, we sprinkle them. Well, I've had all three. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, had the Holy Ghost poured out up on me, and His blood sprinkled on my heart. Hallelujah. So I've had all three. Thank God. Listen, I'm a mile and a half ahead of everybody. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes, sir. Oh, let me tell you, friend, we're serving it out tonight. This is a menu. And the dish is still full. All you have to do is to come and eat from the table of the Lord. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do is to come and eat from the table of the Lord. I'd be afraid to go back to a church that don't serve anything. And from the looks of a lot of people, all they serve is ice cold water. And that's froze up in their veins. Brother, we need a Holy Ghost revival with a fire built under everybody. Hallelujah! That's what I'm talking about tonight. We need a revival of all time, Holy Ghost and fire. Listen, we're not the only church that ever shouted. I said, we're not the only church that ever shouted. Other churches shouted until they got too proud. But I'm just following the footsteps of the flock tonight. There's not a one of you that's honest in your heart can leave this room and say that man did not preach. Did not preach, but from God's holy word. We read it. That's why I like for people to read for me when I preach. You see, we are now at the feeding ground. I said we are now at the feeding ground. And I have one more scripture that I want to use tonight. And I want to take you to John chapter 6. And verse 26. Oh, if everybody could just get full of what I'm talking about tonight. Get full of God. Get full of love. There's one thing I never want the love of God to leak out of my life. No way, shape, or form. I want to love God just like I did in the beginning. I did not come from a religious home, 10,000 times no. I came from a home that knew nothing about God. All I ever heard was cursing and swearing. I never heard nothing about God, nothing. No prayer meetings in our home, not even a Bible, nothing pertaining to God, nothing religious whatsoever. But one day when I heard about the Holy Rollers, that he'd come to town. I say town, the country. Let me correct myself. The country. The country. We went to hear him one Sunday. I never will forget it. Little kid of a boy didn't know nothing about God. It was different then. They just preached wherever people let them preach. And they engaged an old church way out in the country for a Sunday all-day meeting. I never will forget that. When I walked in the doors of that old church and the Pentecostals had those guitars and the fiddles, and everybody was standing up here singing, you know. It's not like it is now. Everybody was on the platform, and you talk about singing. When I walked in there, something went from my head down to my feet. Yes, a little old kid I recognized. I said, if there's anything to God, those folks have it. We need to get back to the old paths. Get back to the original. We don't want a substitute. We want what God said. That's what we need tonight. Come to church and never lift a hand and never twitch an eyebrow and say, I'm ready to go. Well, if the trump of God would sound and everybody shout, he'd scare you half to death. My God, let's get ready to meet God. That's what I'm preaching to this church tonight. Hallelujah. We need repentance. We need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need to stick our feet under the Master's table and eat until we are full of the bread of life. Hallelujah. Am I preaching all right tonight?
Yes.
You ain't going to talk about me tomorrow, are you? You know, I preached one sermon, and it happened to be a party line. Man, I got it the next day. I don't care. You know, when people talk about me, they're letting somebody else rest. And then when they talk about me, they couldn't talk about anybody that's in the bed. So it won't hurt me. Oh, I've had a lot of things said behind my back and a few things to my face. They really don't bother me. I just consider the source and let it ride. Then I go preaching the next night. When I preach, I can't please everybody. Listen, I don't even please the devil when I preach. That's right. Hallelujah. I can't please everybody. So let me preach. Just let me preach. That's what I'm here for.
Hallelujah.
I'm here to preach.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are at the feeding ground. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 26. Read.
Jesus answered them and said,
Verily,
verily, I say unto you,
truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you,
You seek me, not because ye saw the miracle, because you did eat of the loaves,
but because you did eat of the loaves,
and were filled. Labor not.
Now notice, they were full of fish. 5,000 men, full of fish. He performed this miracle for a purpose. Fed them on fish and bread, in order to get to preach to them.
Right.
Now he said,
Labor not. For the meat which perisheth.
For the meat which perisheth.
But labor for that meat. Which endureth unto everlasting life. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you.
For
him hath God the Father sealed.
Read on.
Then said they unto him. What shall we do? That we might work the works of God. Jesus answered and said unto them. This is the work of God. That you believe on him. Whom he hath sent. They said therefore.
That's the work of God, to believe on Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's the work of God.
Right.
Man asked me one time, he said, how many works of grace do you believe in? I said, two. Two? Yeah. I said, you do your work and God will do his. Read on.
They said therefore unto
him. They said therefore unto him.
What sign showest thou then?
What sign showest thou then?
That we may see.
That we may see.
And believe thee.
And believe thee.
What dost thou work?
What dost thou work?
Our fathers did eat manna in the desert.
Oh, wait, now he changes the subject from meat to bread. Our fathers did eat manna
in the desert.
In the desert.
As it is written.
As it is written.
He gave them bread from heaven.
He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Read on.
Then Jesus said unto them.
Then Jesus said unto them.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Moses gave you not that bread from
Moses
heaven.
Gave you not that bread.
From heaven.
From heaven.
But my Father giveth you.
But my Father giveth you.
The true bread from heaven.
The true bread from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody.
Hallelujah.
The true bread
Hallelujah.
From heaven.
Hallelujah.
The true bread from heaven. That's what feeds the soul. Here's a true bread. Now read on.
For the bread of God.
For the bread of God.
Is he which cometh down from heaven.
Is he which cometh down from heaven.
And giveth life unto the world.
And giveth life unto the world.
Then said they unto him.
Oh, look how they changed. Then said they unto him.
Lord.
Lord.
Evermore give us
evermore give us of that bread. If we can eat bread and never die, if it puts life in us, Lord, evermore give us of that bread.
Right.
But they got the shock of a lifetime. What did he say?
And Jesus said
and
to him.
And Jesus said.
I am.
Moses is the bread.
I am the bread.
Jeremiah is the bread.
I am the bread.
Isaiah is the bread.
I am the bread.
Malachi is the bread.
I am
no, Jesus
the bread.
Said, I am the bread.
Of life.
I am the bread of life.
Hallelujah.
You hear me tonight?
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
I
not
am.
One of the prophets, not someone else, but he said, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven to give life unto the world.
Praise
then
God.
They said, Lord, evermore give us of this bread. But when Jesus said, he identified the bread. Read it.
I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life.
He that cometh to me.
Wait a minute. He that cometh to me, hungry soul. He that cometh to me.
Shall never hunger.
Shall never hunger.
And he that believeth on me.
And he that believeth on me.
Shall never thirst.
Shall never thirst.
Hallelujah.
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 I knew I'd find it somewhere, and I found it right here in John chapter 6. I knew I'd find it. You know what he taught? He said, labor not for the meat that perisheth.
Right.
Then he said, I'm the bread of God that's come down from heaven.
Right.
Then he said, when you come to me, you'll never thirst.
Right.
That's water.
Right.
Meat, bread, and water. If he can be meat,